The Nerd and Tie Podcast is, unsurprisingly, a member of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Nerd and Tie is your source for geeky podcasts ranging from actual play to true crime to witchcraft. And you can find more at nerdandtie.com. Or consider joining our Discord, and you can always find an invite for it at nerdandtie.com/discord. Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right, for just $20, we'd say your name here. We'd say something nice about you, or, you know, just compliment you in general. Just go to nerdandtie.com and click on the sponsor information. Or if you want to contribute to our legal fund, you can go to gofundme.com/nerdandtie.
On this month's edition of Nerd and Tie, actual news happened!
And what?
I know, it's crazy! We'll be looking at the weird goings-on at DC Comics, their online DC fandom event, and we are forced to call into question if the Carnival of Sadness might not be as gone as we thought it was. It's a DC Fandom edition on this month's Nerd and Tie! Welcome everyone to a new edition of Nerd and Tie. As always, I'm Nick Izumi.
I'm Genprock.
Trey is wicked busy this month and just, between busy and just general burnout, it's up to us to look at the skullduggery going on at DC. So, but before that, how are you doing, Gen?
I'm okay. I cleaned up my craft room, so I'm, like, making stuff again. It feels really good.
Nice.
How are you?
I'm actually on the first day of my 4-day weekend right now.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been all responsible. I took care of my car. I was, I scheduled an eye appointment so I can get new glasses. Yeah.
I just had one.
Ah, nice.
Yay, adulting.
I know. It's so, I mean, like, also, I've been building Gundam models again to keep myself sane, so that's been good. So Amuro's Gundam is next. We'll see how that turns out.
Yay.
Yee. Kicking it old school. So I was really excited because this last weekend, the DC Fandom event went down.
Yeah.
And like all these trailers and news came out, and honestly, I was just happy that we had news about anything since, like, generally, if there has been news in the world of nerddom, it's been either everything's delayed, movie theaters are making irresponsible decisions, or Disney is trying to kill home physical media distribution. It's been one of those three things.
Yep.
But I guess before we get into the fandom, we should probably set the stage, because I mentioned this to you before and you hadn't heard about it yet, but just before this big old event, although after it was announced, DC Comics got a bit of a shakeup. Now, back in 2018, Warner Media had this big merger with AT&T, right? But back in on the 16th, 17th of August, it took a turn that people were expecting, but not quite as drastic as what it ended up being, when AT&T basically fired 1/3 of DC Comics editorial staff.
Wow!
Yeah, like, we're talking a bunch of writers, a bunch of the people who were reportedly in charge of the this big reboot that DC was planning on announcing, like, in the near future. And this is after Dan Didio already was leaving the company. So, yeah, that's not a small thing.
No.
And, like, some of this, again, seemed inevitable because AT&T is a big company. They also own HBO. So, you know, redundant corporate things were going to get merged together. It seems like we're just waiting to see how DC streaming service, if it's going to last, especially since their big popular shows like Doom Patrol and Titans have already gotten moved over to HBO Plus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't... I mean, as someone who liked Doom Patrol, I'm happy that's finding an audience, finally. That's good. But, like, yeah, so it was a real shock. So, it wasn't exactly a great look all around, so some people thought the timing of Fandome was to try to cool people off slash offer some sort of distraction from the fact that the company just lost two-thirds of it, or, like, a third of its editorial staff.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that was a problem I think DC had in general, is that a lot of their stuff was on all these different networks and streaming services. It was, yep. You know, I guess Stargirl is just getting straight up moved over to the CW, which makes sense since it kind of seems like a CW show anyway. Like just, it's an all CW thing now. Whatever. They already did... The Watchmen show was already a hit on HBO. So, okay, fine. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at... Fandome. Is it happening partly to distract us and make us feel better about how nasty this looks? Probably. But some good stuff came out of it. And, let's start with the video games. We got a couple video game trailers heading our way. So.
Yes.
Okay, which one really stuck out to you? Because we had Arkham Knights and we had Suicide Squad, which I think are both kind of Arkham-verse, like, if I'm not mistaken, but...
Yes, Okay, so I'm going to start with Suicide Squad because it's made by Rocksteady, who also did the Arkham games.
Okay.
And the Arkham games can be arguably, like, some of the best Batman games out there. Easily.
Spider-Man is, like, the only game that comes to mind that's on the same level.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a bit more hype about the Suicide Squad video game versus the Gotham Knights video game.
Okay.
Just because, like, we know these guys, we know what they've done. All they have to do is, you know, take the Arkham style of games and just chuck it into this new universe. Basically just, like, reskin it, change a few things, and, like, we know it's going to be solid because they've done solid things in the past.
It looks really fun. Yeah, like, I'm wondering how, like, all the playable characters are going to work, because you have characters who I would assume have radically different play styles.
Exactly. And that's definitely going to add to the gameplay more so than in the Arkham games, where you pretty much had the one play style.
You had Batman, smaller Batman, and feminine Batman with a whip. I mean,
yeah. I mean, they all were pretty similar gameplay-wise, where it looks like here, they're definitely going to be, like, vastly different, just because their powers are so different. So that, I think, is going to add to the fun.
I like that Harley was giving off some Margot Robbie vibes. Like, that was a was a good decision.
Heck yeah. I it looks like for the foreseeable future, as far as we know, they are, like, together. Like, Margot and Harley are, like...
It's a good time to be Harley Quinn. Well, I'll put it that way.
Exactly.
Captain Boomerang. I'm so happy he's in this game because I'm a big Captain Boomerang fan. The whole him zooming around like flash speed seemed weird, but cool for the playstyle. I'm sure they'll explain it. And maybe Boomerang has some like speed upgrade in a recent comic that I just haven't read. I can't wait for viewer mail to be like, eh, you.
It almost looked to me more like teleporting.
Yeah, maybe.
Like throwing the boomerang and then teleporting to catch it.
Oh. I mean,
like wherever the boomerang is, he teleports to. That was my guess as to how it's going to work, but I don't know. Speculation.
Could be some fun playstyle. Deadshot, you're going to be some sort of shooter mechanic,
yeah,
I guess.
Rudy Tooty. Well, it's shooter, big fighty man. Yeah, Captain Boomerang and Harley are going to be the interesting ones.
Yeah, their lack of traditional powers normally makes them kind of weird.
Yeah. But I think that's going to be fun. And it looks really good. Of course.
My honest issue with the trailer
is,
admittedly, I'm not the first person to say this, but it has to be said. At this point, having a Christopher Reeve-style Superman would be more subversive than evil Superman. With how much he pops up in media these days.
Yup.
Like, okay, evil Superman. Okay,
evil Superman. And we can only guess that if there's evil Superman, there's going to be evil Justice League.
Yeah,
and it's obviously something to do with the big skull, because the purple glowy equals evil.
Well, yeah. And like the tagline at the end there, kill the Justice League. So, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if I get to kill a Green Lantern in the process, I'm not gonna sneeze at this.
If only we could choose which Green Lantern it was.
And then it just everyone gangs up on Guy Gardner. It's gonna be awful. It's gonna be a Guy Gardner bloodbath. Meanwhile, we look over at the Gotham Knights. We got what looks like is also kind of drawing from that world of the Arkham games where we left off.
Yes, it looks like it should be an Arkham game. Like, it looks exactly like it should be an Arkham game.
Well, especially since at the end of Arkham, spoilers for Arkham Knight, a game that I haven't finished playing, but someone else spoiled it for me, so. So Bruce is dead at the end of that game. Like he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and but of course the Arkham games very clearly spelled out that the rest of the Bat family are active. And so we're seeing this game about the supporting Batman characters, and I'm mostly in favor of that because I like the supporting characters. In fact, I probably like them more than I like Batman.
I don't know. I feel like it's very much trying to be the Arkham games, but I don't know how well it will live up to it.
That's fair.
I can see how they're trying to give each of the protags like different, like, play styles, even though some of them are pretty similar.
I mean, yeah, that's the problem with, like, especially with, like, Nightwing and Robin, is, yeah, they're really not that different.
Well, and I saw that they gave Robin, like, way more gizmos. Like, he has something where he can turn invisible. Ooh. And, of course, Jason Todd is just shoot gun.
And I think that, like, this is one of the only pieces of media that's still acknowledging Tim Drake as Robin. And since Tim was the tech head, that makes sense for him to be
that
a bit
sense.
More, yeah, gadget reliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dick Grayson is the sexy Robin. So we've got him.
I would have appreciated a better, like, ass shot from Nightwing in the trailer. Like,
that is a legitimate complaint.
Yep, that's, yeah.
Since Arkham Babs was disabled, I'm wondering how they're explaining Batgirl? That's a stretch.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I know they did it in the comics, but even there, I'm kind of bothered by it, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's...
Okay, no, I did find a good Nightwing butt shot. Okay.
Okay. Emergency called off, everybody. We got a good Nightwing butt. We got it.
Mm-hmm.
That is not America's ass, but it should be.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I hate to be nitpicky and, like, stuck-up gamer person, but, like, just because of who's developing the games, I kind of trust one a little bit more than the other, you know, really, like, bring the Arkham feeling.
Even though
Suicide Squad isn't Arkham at all.
I mean, yeah, it's weird, right? It's like, one of them we know has this direct connection, but it's the Suicide Squad one that looks really... I find that one
better.
More exciting myself. Yeah, no, I agree. I find that a little bit more exciting, partly because it's... Well, you're playing as a bunch of bad dudes.
Yeah.
And presumably doing some morally questionable stuff. I don't know. Also, like, Arkham Knight it's definitely an uneven game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to pretend Arkham Knight is this perfect game, but I think that it was a really good ending to that version of Batman
mm-hmm.
and to that legacy. And I don't know that I don't know how much I want to return to those characters after an ending like that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and it's just one of these things where, like, when you see in movies where, like, the sequel is coming, but it's directed by somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this feels like to me.
Well, and remember, there was Arkham Origins, the Arkham game that wasn't made by the normal studio, and that was, it was a game.
It's a game.
Troy Baker's voice work was good? Question mark. That's about
right.
All. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we are more excited for the Suicide Squad game, but Gotham Knights could be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
That's what I'll hope for.
I want it to be good.
Yeah.
Anything that gives me a chance to be my boy Dick Grayson, I want to be good. But
for sure.
And anything that gives Tim Drake any time of day, I want to be good. But yeah, I'm also being realistic about it. Poor Tim. Why is Tim Drake getting? Why can that boy not get any love these days? I'm frustrated.
I don't know.
Like, good God, Jason Todd gets more love than Tim Drake these days. That's criminal. That is actually criminal. Buts. Absolute butt. All right, speaking of the Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Should we move on to movies? The movie trailers that we...
Yes, because from here we can move on a couple different ways. But yeah, let's do the Suicide Squad. And it's just the cast reveal. It's not even, like, anything of the movie.
Yeah, it's the cast and costume reveal. That was mostly it. We knew our boy James Gunn was working on this.
Yes.
You know, great director. And mm-hmm. he had announced who was going to be in it, but we didn't know who was playing who.
Yeah.
And, okay, let's look at this.
Right?
What were your thoughts? Because I know you haven't seen the first film, which is no real loss, but yeah.
Well, my first thought was, holy crap, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Wow!
I know a lot of people are saying the same thing, and I'm.
Like, it's cool, and I'm excited to see each one and how, like, what they do, how they work. I'm not familiar with, the original stories. I'm not familiar with the comics. So I don't know most of these people, like, most of these heroes.
Well, and long story short, really, like, the whole selling point of Suicide Squad over the years, was let's just take a bunch of DC villains that people know, and stick them on a team together to do anti-heroic stuff that there's no way that the Justice League would be caught dead doing. So, and for whatever reason, in the last few years, Harley Quinn has become like one of the core members of the Suicide Squad, despite the fact that she had not even been created yet when Suicide Squad was like began as a comic book.
Well, it's a lot like the Avengers.
Yeah. I mean, you could say the same thing about Captain America, really.
But no, I think one thing that I love about this lineup of heroes, anti-heroes, whatever, is that so many of them look really weird.
Oh God, yeah.
Like, I'm very excited to see what Polka Dot Man does, you know? Like,
I love that, like, James Gunn is such a weird director. Like, you look at the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, where he's not afraid to just make fun of how silly, the Marvel Universe can be.
oh yeah.
And I'm excited to see him playing with the DC universe that has just as silly, in fact, I would argue some sillier characters.
Oh yeah. Bring me Quilt Man.
Oh yes. It's like that line from the Lego Batman movie with the police to the Joker. Did you make some of those guys up? Nope, they're all real. I was really excited. I'm excited for. There's a couple people returning. Like, Viola Davis is still playing Amanda Waller, who's this. Think of her as the DC Universe's Nick Fury. Like, because that's really what she is. She's a bit more willing to bend the rules and do some morally questionable stuff than Fury, but that's really her thing. Jai Courtney was really great as Captain Boomerang in the first Suicide Squad movie. I hated that movie, but he was good. And I'm glad they gave him an actual costume in this movie.
Yes.
But yeah, so some of these characters are really weird. Idris Elba's character, for example, is a Superman villain who has, in the comics, he has a teleportation belt and shoots kryptonite bullets.
Oh.
So yeah, he could be a really interesting character. John Cena's character, he described in an interview as douchey Captain America. And I enjoy the hell out of John Cena.
That makes so much sense for him to be playing that then.
I mean, granted, this isn't really outside his wheelhouse. He was great as an army dude in Bumblebee, but I'm excited. I think he'll be fun.
No, I think a lot of the casting, even though I don't know some of the characters, it looks really good. Like, they did a good job casting. Like, Peter Capaldi
Oh God, yeah. The
looks
Thinker.
really good.
What a weird, like, and that's
Yeah.
a good weird DC villain, and I can't wait to see Peter Capaldi in that role.
And of course, we can't not mention Nathan Fillion.
Who I had to look up who he's playing, but apparently the character is known sometimes as Arms Fall Off Boy. As in his own arms can be detached so he can use them as weapons.
I think this is going to be super fun just because of how crazy it is. And that's really what they need, that's where this needs to go.
And
I
because
mean,
it's
it's
a
already been
Suicide Squad
proven.
movie. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's already been proven that we love the crazy superhero movies. Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok. Like,
Aquaman.
We love the weird ones.
I think that's why Aquaman was such a success, is because it's such a freaking weird movie. You just need Crow T. Robot in the background of one of those scenes to just be like, "I just dawned on me what a strange film this is."
Right?
Like, and the other thing is, yeah, the cast is huge, but this is a Suicide Squad movie, so they might die. Like, a lot of them might die as goofy
cameos.
That's what
I'm thinking. We might go, it'd be really, really cool to have the Suicide Squad, like, go through some of the iterations of the squad.
Maybe even do a Deadpool 2 joke where you introduce a bunch of these characters, then you kill them, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, realistically, I could see someone being upset that you waste King Shark. King Shark's a fun character. But on the other hand, I really doubt there's that many people in the audience who are like, "I can't believe they wasted Javelin." My favorite DC villain, Javelin.
I love that in the trailer, King Shark is just King Shark.
I love,
like, there's nobody playing him. He's just King Shark. King Shark is playing King Shark. Like, it's great. I love that.
And King Shark is such a fun character. Like, there's so many ways you can play him. And
yeah,
they're all vaguely canon. And I love him so much.
Oh, this looks, like, even though all we got was a cast reveal trailer, the visuals, like, the characters chosen, like, this looks like it's going to be a crazy fun film. And honestly, probably way better than the first one.
I mean, admittedly, I don't think that would be that hard, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The first one is such a mess. And, like, I think that you're going to see a pretty big difference between the director who brought you Bright and the director who brought you Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Frankly.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm so hyped for this movie. It looks so much fun. I guess moving over to a movie that we knew was coming, but we got another new trailer for it. It's, in fact, it would have been out by now if it weren't for COVID-19. Thanks, COVID-19. We got a new trailer for Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
So you said you haven't seen the first Wonder Woman again.
Not yet.
Okay. If you
get
the chance,
it.
It's a fun
Promise.
Movie. Yeah, it's good. It
yeah.
is a good movie. A lot of the same creative staff are working on this one.
Good.
What was your impression of the trailer, though?
Interesting. Pretty cool. There were definitely some really cool moments. I think her gold armor at the end is going to be an iconic look, for sure.
I wasn't feeling it at first, but the more I see it, it's like, okay, it's pretty cool.
yeah.
I love how bright her regular Wonder Woman costume is, though. Like, that they're just letting the red, gold, and blue just pop.
Mm-hmm.
So iconic.
And what I think is very interesting in this is actually, I'm very interested to see Kristen Wiig as a villain.
Yeah! And this,
like,
trailer was our first look at her in full cheetah form.
Yeah.
So that's...
And I think it looks cool. I think they did a good job with her in full form. It's way better than Cats. It's the only thing I can compare it to.
Thank
but
God
I, it's
we
just,
avoided
she's so,
Cats.
She's so known for her comedy that it's going to be, like, super cool and interesting to see her not in a comedy role.
Yeah, and I'm... It's looking like her throwdown with fully armored Diana is going to be a real, like a real big part of the movie. So I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, Pedro Pascal is playing Maxwell Lord.
Oh.
I'm curious how that particular part of the movie is going to go, since the trailer is making it look like they're really making Maxwell Lord into this Donald Trump character. And if the movie gets delayed till next year, depending on, God help us if the election goes in a sane direction, then that might end up being a really dated reference instead of a biting piece of satire. But
Yeah.
I'm curious how that'll go, though, because, so Maxwell Lord is like a secondary-ish DC villain.
Okay.
But eventually, in some of the comics, he did get mind control powers.
Ah.
And like his honestly, the thing that he's most famous for these days was that he got mind control powers and Wonder Woman like snapped his neck. Yeah. So I'm really curious if Patty Jenkins is going to go that direction or if she's like, if this is going to be a backhanded comment on Zack Snyder choosing to snap someone's neck pointlessly a few years ago. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'm excited for this. I really think it looks fun. I think it's interesting that I'm thinking there's going to be a double meaning because Patty Jenkins, the director, said her favorite Wonder Woman comic run is actually also my favorite Wonder Woman comic run,
Ooh.
which is the 80s run, which was written and illustrated by George Perez.
Okay.
And it was really the art in it is really pretty, and while not all of it has aged well, it's most of my feminist friends really prefer that arc as well, just everything about it was really just it just told some really good stories. And so the fact that it's set in the 80s makes me wonder if that's going to be an inspiration. But then also, of course, we have a George Orwell reference, 1984. So maybe that's.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see.
So who, however they release it, I can't wait to see it. Maybe even in a theater.
Hopefully.
The gods of Olympus willing, we will see this on a big screen. In the near
Yeah.
future, maybe.
Well, maybe we could also see Batman.
Oh, the Batman.
The Batman.
Robert Pattinson, we finally saw what it's
Yes.
gonna look like. Ooh, how are you feeling about that trailer? The Batman.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I don't know. It's like, oh, cool, more another Batman.
No, that's fair. So Reyna was my wife, for people in the audience who don't know, is probably a bigger DC fan than I am in a lot of regards. Like, she's really into the comics. And she said to me, this is the first Batman movie I've been excited for since Batman Begins.
Oh.
That was her take on it, and I'll admit that I really liked what I saw, but that's it reminded me of the Geoff Johns graphic novel Batman Earth One, which is a book about a very flawed, very emotionally unstable, and definitely doesn't have it all planned out Dark Knight. Those books really, really lean into the Batman as a detective story. And I don't want to spoil it, but like the twist at the end of the first book is really good and kind of heartbreaking. And I'm going to end up spoiling it just by phrasing it this way, but I think it's a well-told enough story that it still works. Bruce really puts his eggs in one basket. And it's the wrong basket. and you feel him fail. A lot of that book is just Batman going around failing at stuff. Which might be why I like it so much.
Well, and I don't know. It looks good. Excited for the take that Robert Pattinson is going to take on it. I know a lot of people have been giving him flack because of Twilight, but everyone who was in Twilight,
right?
Gets flack for being in Twilight. Like,
but like he's been in like so many
exactly
other things. Like,
yeah.
The
like,
man's
I
an excellent actor.
Yeah.
If there's anyone I'm not worried about in that movie, it's him. And
yeah.
The rest of the cast seem pretty good. It looks like we're gonna... This is... Like, a lot of the imagery looked kind of Riddler-y.
Yes. Yes.
And that's cool.
That is cool. And I love how, you know, he has that card, that invite card. And there's the code on it, and people have already decoded it.
Yeah! Yeah, that's also kind of exciting at least in the hopes that maybe, I'm hoping that that means that we're going to have some, like, actually well-thought-out riddles, and, because the Riddler's a fun villain, and he can be a terrifying villain if you write him the right way.
Yeah. So, yeah, Yeah, that gives me hope that this will be more of a mystery detective work type of thing, because I don't know that they've really gone down that particular, like, route with him in films yet.
Most of the time, yeah, Batman is a detective in that the movie told you he's a detective.
Yeah. He doesn't actually detect much.
Yeah, and maybe this won't be... You know, I'll also admit, I'm a little over grimdark Batman. Like, I wish that they weren't doing big, angry, punchy Batman again.
Mm.
But on the other hand, if they tell the story well, I want to give it its fair due.
And true.
Added bonus, that one guy in face paint he punches in the alleyway looks like the Nostalgia Critic, so that makes it the best trailer ever.
And I only have one critique, is that I don't like his hair.
Okay, no, that's fair. It's okay. A little...
It's just kind of floppy and in his face, and...
Yeah, I'd kind of wish that Bruce Wayne would be a little bit more trying to keep his appearances up, at least when he's not wearing the bat suit.
Yeah.
Like, when he's alone in the bat cave with Alfred, then I'm fine with him looking just borked. Because, like, he's clearly not doing well.
No.
And I...
But, I mean, that's, what, all of, like, a couple shots of him... So who knows what could like it actually look like in the film. So
yeah, for all we know,
it'll probably be better. I'm just like, dude, you know what combs are.
I'm choosing to be optimistic. I've always thought Robert Pattinson was a good choice for this role.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see what he does with it.
Yeah. Yeah, excited, but over the grimdark.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And if they freaking... do Tom and Martha again.
Oh my god, I've seen... Wait, let me put it to you this way, again. My retired boomer father, who I love. Like, I'm just putting in perspective what generation he's from. Said to me, when he saw this trailer, if I see his parents get shot again, I'm leaving the theater.
Yeah, like, they need to stop. We get it already. We know where his trauma comes from. You don't have to show us every time.
Yeah, we don't need it spelled out for us. Now, that's not necessarily saying we need to pull what Marvel's doing with Spider-Man and just pretending that Uncle Ben never existed, I guess.
No, just, but, like, allude to it.
Yeah, we don't need to see it happen.
Just allude that it happens and like, oh no, such a tragedy, and then move on because we already know. We get it.
Yep. we all know. We all know. It's been done, and it's, like, so what? Many great Batman stories have already done it. We don't need to do it again.
Exactly. But you know what hasn't been done yet?
What hasn't been done yet?
The Zack Snyder cut.
Oh, damn it!
We have to talk about it!
Talk about this thing. So,
save the best for last.
We, back in the day, when this podcast started, we had something we called the DC Carnival of Sadness. And it started, it really started more or less with Man of Steel. And, like, you know, Super Murder Man. And seeing this version of Superman who doesn't enjoy saving people and snaps people's necks. And with every subsequent movie, we were like, oh boy, more taking this bright, colorful universe and making it as sad as possible.
Yeah.
And I was wrong, Gen. I thought we were moving away from this. We had Aquaman. We had Birds of Prey. We had Shazam. Like.
Nuh-uh. Like, back to desaturated sadness we go.
Oh my god. So, we got our first look at the Snyder Cut, and, what was your impression, Gen? What was your impression? I want you to say your impression first. I really do.
I was super confused.
Okay!
Great. Like some of, like, most of it you can kind of follow. Okay, here's the Justice League. Okay, they're saving people. There's a big bad Transformer dude who's pretty much just the one guy from Avengers. It's Ultron.
Yeah, it's
Ultron again.
The Snyder fans are like, look at the huge improvement on Steppenwolf from how he looked in the Joss Whedon cut. And I'm like, so we went from a boring gray armor guy to a frickin' Michael Bay Transformer. What an upgrade.
Exactly. And there's lots of fighting, and then there's like random scenes of, like, people hugging! And, like, there's, like, it, this trailer makes no sense whatsoever.
Okay,
if the point is to, like, confuse you to the point that you have to see the movie just to understand what's going on, you did it.
So are you ready for this again?
But tell me anyways.
The big gray man with the weapon that he swings at the camera at the beginning of the trailer.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be Darkseid.
Huh?
As in the anti-life equation guy. You know, big blue and gray stone guy. Like, normally, like, the most Jack Kirby of all villains. Yeah. Instead, we have a man who escaped an N64 box, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be impressive.
He looks like he should be on, like, one of the deleted levels of Doom.
Yeah.
Like, the original Doom.
Yeah.
Come on. Why do you hate color?
This is the keeper of the anti-life equation. Oh my god.
It's like, oh, there he is. But then we have this Transformer later, and it's like, it's just a mess. It's a mess.
Well, also at the event, they announced that this is going to be, like, a four-part, four-hour miniseries now. So it's not even going to be the movie Zack Snyder intended to release, because I guarantee you no theater wanted a four-hour movie.
Yeah.
Especially not one that's a sequel to a Batman-Superman movie that, like, 12 people actually liked.
Yeah.
I could not stand. Like, I was a mixture of embarrassed and cringing at the fact that they put Leonard Cohen's Alleluia over it. Because it was so heavy-handed. Like, I could feel Zack Snyder just whacking himself off adding that song to the trailer. I did my best, it wasn't much. And even
the combination,
though it all went wrong, like...
It's the combination of how dismal this whole thing looks, just tonally-wise, in just, like, the color of the film, like, the... Oh, it's so...
So up
just,
his own ass.
It's
Sorry.
So gray.
Yeah.
It's so gray. And then to put, like, an atonal, like, version of Hallelujah on...
Mm-hmm.
Is just...
Because Zack Snyder's fans are saying, Hallelujah, it's finally happening. And, like, that trailer told me that Zack Snyder believes his own hype. Like, he really is that far up his own ass at this point.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Like, and half that footage was just, like, people, like, the Snyder Cut fans are like, this is going to be a drastically different movie. But more than half that footage was the same footage from the Whedon cut with different color filters over it. Oh, good, the Flash's lightning is blue. This will make the movie better.
Also, the Flash runs really weirdly.
Oh,
like, with his arms waggling out. Like, that's not how you run.
Well, did you also... apparently, the girl he rescued is supposed to be Iris West. So, like, Barry Allen's wife in most continuities. But did you also love that as soon as he saved her from danger, that it wasn't, like, this look of adrenaline and shock on her face? It was boink me eyes immediately.
Oh, yeah. She's just like, we're in the middle of the street and a car just exploded. Go to town, buddy!
Yeah, because, like, that is one of Zack Snyder's favorite shots. He always uses that in movie, is woman survives horrible accident and immediately gives hero boink me eyes. Like, immediately. I don't think Zack Snyder has any understanding of what women's brains are.
Ugh. It's just, this... If this trailer is anything to go off of, this it's just going to be a big conglomeration of absolutely everything he can get his greedy little paws on, smush them all together, chuck them in a gray filter, and it's just going to be a big gray mess.
And all the fans have been like saying, oh, there was all this stuff cut. But I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, so like, how is even if it's 4 hours long... Putting literally every character in the DC universe into your movie seems really questionable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, like, here's a character that will only have meaning to hardcore comic book fans, but also it's Zack Snyder, so he does not care about what the comic book canon is anyway. And it's funny, again, that you mentioned the lack of color, because even we have Superman wearing a black suit. So even Mr. Truth, Justice, and the American Way can't have a bright color in this thing.
No. Nope.
And admittedly, this is, I know the Zack Snyder fans are all excited for this, but this is especially hard for me to look at this Superman after, one, already seeing Henry Cavill in a part that he was actually really good in The Witcher.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So just to clarify, I'm not dunking on Henry Cavill. In this house, the only Superman we outright diss on is Dean Cain. But also, like, earlier, like, last year... the CW did their Crisis on Infinite Earths TV movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a miniseries, but if you watch it back-to-back, it makes a pretty great TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I got not just Tyler Hoechlin, who's the CW's go-to Superman, but I also got to see Brandon Routh being Superman again.
Ah.
And like, seeing my favorite movie Superman ever, in addition to Brandon Routh, I mean, excuse me, in addition to Tyler Hoechlin, Brandon Routh is my favorite movie Superman. It just made, the appeal of Henry Cavill Superman go down even more. Like, I don't know. If I worked for HBO and I saw that trailer, I'd be like, we gave him how many million dollars for this?
Right?
Like, yikes, this, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
Or if I worked for HBO, I would be embarrassed. That's...
I feel like... I'm just so confused. I don't understand anything in this trailer. Absolutely anything. Like, maybe it would help if I had actually seen Justice League. But maybe. Even then, I feel like it would tell me a few more of the characters, but not much more.
Maybe, but it's this weird problem of Zack Snyder, in his approach to DC movies, he wants to have all these deep cut characters, but he also wants to completely redefine who the characters are. So, like, you're essentially introducing a brand new character at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't know if he understands, like, that in order to introduce a brand new character and fully understand how deep cut they are, you need to spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah, the reason that people, like, and I am not going to try to pretend that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is perfect, because it absolutely is not.
Nope.
But the reason that people gave a crap about Iron Man isn't that they cared about his comics before Robert Downey Jr. played the character. Because, mm-hmm. spoiler warning, they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, Jiminy, I know I've shared this story before, but in college, people made fun of me. Like, close friends of mine made fun of me for reading Captain America. And those same people became fans of the Chris Evans movie. You don't just say, hey, this character's in the movie and people automatically love it. You need to give them something to love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not getting that vibe from this. It's like, here's Apocalypse. Hope you know what that is.
It's like, here's this one's trauma, here's this one's trauma, here's this one's... It just keeps bouncing back and forth, and you don't get time to, like, connect with any of them. So, I don't know, I just think this whole thing's gonna be a big hot mess.
Like, Joss Whedon's cut of the movie was given a lot of flack for it's trying to introduce all these characters at once and you just can't get a good feel for them, which is a legitimate critique, but, like, for the most part, Snyder is in the same position. Like, the previous movies didn't actually introduce who this version of the Flash was or who this version of Cyborg is.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, that was most people's first exposure to that version of Aquaman, and, big spoiler warning, most of the people I know who saw and liked Aquaman didn't even see Justice League. Myself included.
Yeah, it's crazy that, like, maybe when these characters get their own films, you get to know them and love them. And they don't need these group ones, or whatever.
Or maybe if you're gonna have a group, maybe even, I don't know, like, the... We'll see. Maybe we're damning it too soon, like, from a purely artistic perspective, I am happy that this director got to go back and try to make sure his vision actually gets fulfilled. I still think he's a crappy director who is going to have a crappy vision, and this trailer did nothing to assuage my feelings in that regard.
Mm.
But who knows? Maybe it'll happen, and... what's the worst that could happen, or the best that it can hope for, is that people will watch it on HBO Max and be like, oh, that was cool.
Right.
The best I can hope for is that the people who harassed everyone working at Warner Brothers for all those years will realize that they spent all this time trying to get a really crappy miniseries made, but they're not going to, because these are people who already think Zack Snyder movies are good, so I don't think you can fix that.
Yeah.
And no apologies to anyone who's going to come in and be like, oh, but this Zack Snyder movie's good. No, it's not. It's not. I'm just going to spoil that one for you guys. It's not. Maybe the Owl movie I might hear your arguments on, but any of the others, no, it's not a good movie. I know you think it is. Maybe at the time you thought it was. I kind of thought Man of Steel was okay when I left the theater, but it's not. It's really not.
Well, I hope everyone's enjoyed us talking about DC stuff for like almost an hour.
Yeah, we don't have anything in the message bag, sadly.
Yeah.
And we don't get to goose too much about. I guess the only other thing worth mentioning was that they did kind of basically say, "Hey, we're still moving on that Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson Black Adam movie."
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that could be fun. Oh. Like, it's weird that they're doing a solo Black Adam movie before he even meets Shazam, but, oh, sure. Sure, whatever.
Sure, why not?
I like Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. I like him.
Yeah, he's a good.
He's fun, so whatever. I'll probably just go see that on the basis of Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson being a supervillain. Frankly, it's weird we didn't get him in one of these Cape movies earlier, right?
I know.
Like,
I know, we got, we're getting John Cena before Dwayne.
We got Batista.
Like, we got Batista.
Yeah.
Was Batista the first wrestler in a superhero movie?
I mean, like, I guess, like, in, like, the modern superhero movies, there's probably some other wrestler parts that I'm not even thinking of.
Oh no, I think we have to go way back to Lou Ferrigno.
Oh yeah, that's right. Was Red Brown ever a wrestler, or was he just a weird bad 80s movie guy?
I don't remember.
I'd
have to look it up.
But yeah, I guess if we don't, kind of Lou Ferrigno, like, of our modern wrestlers, it's kind of weird that Dwayne Johnson, a guy who actually is an actor with a really good career. I mean, not to crap on Batista either, because, like, he's been in some really good stuff, including Guardians of the Galaxy, but even after Guardians, he's been in some really good stuff, too, so.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, we'll see how this goes. I had fun talking about DC. Did you have fun,
Ken? I did, too. It was great.
Hey, maybe some other group will be like, hey, virtual convention where we'll announce other things that we can actually talk about.
Well, this weekend, Gamescom is going on.
Okay.
It's kind of a video game release convention that usually takes place in Germany. And this year they're doing it all virtually. So I've been watching some releases today, and there'll be more as the weekend goes by.
All right, well then maybe we'll have some more stuff to talk about in the near future. So that's exciting. Thank you, virtual conventions, for making our lives slightly less terrible in the time of Corona.
Yeah.
We do not have any viewer mail or listener mail this week. Wow, it's hot. It's very hot, you guys.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I guess that's it. So, as always, be sure to follow our other shows at nerdandtie.com. There's lots of great shows on there, from more shows about witchcraft than you can shake a stick at, including our very own BS-Free Witchcraft and the all-new Hex Positive. We got some great real-play shows, Let's Be Legendary, and Stormwood and Associates that stars some pretty cool people, also. The Famicom Dojo, lots of great shows Check out, so if you enjoy this show, please check out nerdandtie.com. We got great stuff there. Again, where can people find your art and buy it?
Oh, check out my Etsy store, Ocelot Dude Designs.
Excellent. And please feel free to check out my Patreon at patreon.com/nickizumi. Also, while you're swinging by the website, maybe swing by Trey's Patreon or even his patreon.com/treygorin, or look at our legal defense fund. We're still fighting for the rights of, well, really convention journalists. So, as always, you guys have a great rest of your week. I'm Nick Izumi.
Again, Proc.
And as always, here from the Nerd and Tie Nerder Dome, keep on spockin' in the free world.
Yeah!
Bam, 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 bam,